This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
If we expect the American people to support their government over the long haul when it makes a difficult decision, if the possibility exists that we may ask hundreds of thousands of our young men and women in uniform to put themselves in harm's way, then we must gain, in my view, the informed consent of the American people.
Senator Joseph Biden of Delaware, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, at the opening of hearings examining U.S. strategy in dealing with Iraq. Dan Shore joins us now.
Hi, Scott.
Hello, Dan.
President Bush and members of Congress have left for a month's vacation. Obviously, there doesn't seem to be any common consent about what will proceed on policy towards Iraq. Mm-hmm. What are some of the factors that are complexifying the decisions that need to be made now?
Complexifying, I like the word to begin with. Yes, well, one of the complexifying things is the fact that the United States is very short of potential allies for an attack on Iraq, both in the region and also in Europe. Then there's the fact that his own administration is split several different ways about how this invasion plan, if any, should work. And then what happens in Iraq after Saddam Hussein is luckily disposed of? So is it going to be a possibility of Iraq simply disintegrating, or if not, what happens? Mm-hmm. And because they're split this way, it is said that there are several different war plans, several different non-war plans. There are the Cheney-Rumsfeld-Hawks group, there is the Powell-Tenet-Doves group, and all the rest of it. All that makes it very difficult because the president has spoken of taking preemptive action. He's backed himself into something of a corner. He's under pressure to make good on that. And yet he doesn't have what he needs, which is a consensus among his own civilian and military advisors. That's his basic problem.
A war of leaks seems to have broken out already, hasn't it?
Well, the war of leaks is a way of sort of waving your hand in the president's face. That is to say, you give the newspaper a story about one plan which you think is very bad, and you indicate how bad it is, or you give one which you think is very good. And the result of that is that while the administration is not speaking publicly about things which they call operational, because if they are operational, you shouldn't be talking about them, they do talk about them on an anonymous basis. And the result of that is that the debate that's going on is a debate of leaks.
Mm-hmm. What did the hearings accomplish this week? They had scholars, former officials. No one from the administration was invited. Senator Biden said he didn't want the administration to feel they had to sign on to one policy or another just yet.
Well, clearly the administration is not in a position now to explain to Congress a plan which it hasn't even yet quite enunciated. But what they did do is to get a great many scholars and former officials, and they were able to sort of show the magnitude of the problem that is faced here. Now, you remember that President Bush Sr. Encouraged a big congressional debate before he went into Iraq. And at some point, the idea of having people talk about it at least raises the question of, if you're going to go into Iraq, wouldn't it be well if Americans understood the dimensions of the problems that you face?
Thursday, the Iraqi government told U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan that it would like to resume discussions about letting in weapons inspectors and monitoring.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a real change or a feint?
Well, I don't know. It may be that after all the leaks that have gone on about various war plans, maybe Saddam Hussein takes the possibility of an attack more seriously than a lot of other people do. He's offering to talk about resuming inspection and monitoring. He's not saying that he will do it. The whole thing is cost-free to him. If he has secret weapons, he's had 4 years since he kicked out the inspectors to hide all of them. At the very least, offering to talk fortifies those countries and those governments which are trying to slow down the United States and go into an attack. If that is how you define a ploy, this is a ploy.
There was more violence in the Middle East this week. Specifically, Wednesday, a bomb went off in a cafeteria at Hebrew University. 7 people were killed, including 5 Americans.
Yes.
President Bush said he's furious, but that he still wants to pursue a final Israeli-Palestinian settlement. Can he after this attack?
Well, this is more complicated for him than the average kind of violence, because there were 5 Americans who were killed, and the president has defined terrorism as violence directed against Americans. The result of that, he's now sent the FBI to Jerusalem to help in the investigation, and that makes things a little difficult for him when it comes to pursuing his aim of trying to arrange in 3 years to see that there is a Palestinian state erected alongside the Jewish state. However, he saw this week Shimon Peres, the Israeli foreign minister, and King Abdullah of Jordan, and apparently conveyed to them that he's still trying very hard to establish some kind of timetable for discussions that might result in having a Palestinian state. I think it's his policy, and it's very hard for him to change that, because without it, he has no policy.
Domestically, the president and Congress left town with some unfinished business hanging, prescription drug benefits specifically, the Patient's Bill of Rights. These have been important issues to voters in the past. Is there any interest that benefits politically from this right now?
Well, obviously, if you're dealing with issues that are very important to Americans, such as whether whether the elderly can get prescription drugs, whether you can get a patient's bill of rights, you're dealing with things that matter to them. What it's hard to say at this point is who benefits or who benefits more than the other. Obviously, the two parties are going to be very busy trying to blame the other for lack of action. Each one will say, we had a plan, we tried to get it through, we couldn't get it through. And there will be a battle to see who gets the credit and who gets all the blame. One interesting thing that has happened is that a recent poll commissioned by NPR, as it happened, indicates for the first time in many years that about more than half of Americans, 56%, think that the United States is on the wrong track. That is an early indicator of a possible problem for incumbents.
There's one piece of legislation that seemed understandably particularly dear to the president, which is creating the Department of Homeland Security in time for observance of September 11th. But the president's threatened to veto the Senate bill,
right?
Which, of course, would make that impossible to establish by September 11th. What's the issue at stake here?
Well, it really is quite amazing. You would have thought if it was anything the president wanted, it was to have this new department, which seems very important to him, to have it in place, or at least officially in place, before September 11th. But there seems to be an ideological problem. The problem is that he does not want to have all the general protections that civil servants have in other departments there. He wants to be able to move around money in the departments as he would like to move around money. And the Senate is not going for that, or at least Senator Robert Byrd, the powerful chairman of the Appropriations Committee, is not going for that, with the result that the bill has been held up in the Senate and will remain obviously held up until the Senate comes back on September 3rd. What is very interesting is, whatever the importance of this department to the president, it was not apparently important enough for him to put away ideology.
Finally, you had two former executives of WorldCom arrested after declaring the biggest bankruptcy in history. AOL Time Warner, which carried out the largest merger in history, is now under criminal investigation, mm-hmm. we're told. There's suddenly some seats to be had for lunch at the Four Seasons, as I understand it. Is there any chance we're nearing some kind of end of this phase of that scandal?
Not as long as the handcuffs hold out. The president, who's a latecomer to this whole idea, is now very big on jailing these bad people.
Thanks very much, Dan Schor.
Sure.